Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture. And Scott, I want to start our program today by asking you a question.
Okay. Whatever it is, I didn't do it.
No worries, Scott. You're not in trouble. It's a simple question. Are you ready?
I guess.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Really? We've got a radio program to do, and you're asking me the chicken or egg question? What's next? Why did the chicken cross the road?
Scott, I detect you're not taking my question seriously, but I am serious. I know the general consensus concerning the chicken or the egg question is that it is a catch-22 situation. But actually, a person's answer can indicate something significant about their mindset. So, I'm asking you, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Well, I would say the chicken came first.
But doesn't a chicken have to come from an egg?
Yes, but an egg also must come from a chicken. Mm-hmm. And since an egg and the chick it produces needs a mother hen to survive, you have to have a chicken first, and then it can lay an egg, which results in another chicken.
Scott, your reasoning is impeccable.
Thank you.
And I couldn't agree more. You see, a person's answer to the chicken or the egg question is related to their view on origins, whether they believe in creation or evolution. For an evolutionist, the question is fundamentally impossible to answer. But for a biblical creationist, it's really easy. God created the birds on the fifth day of creation. They didn't come into existence over millions of years as generation after generation slowly changed from one form of egg-laying organism into another. And as you pointed out, God would have created the full-grown chicken that then could take care of the chicks that hatched from its eggs. So indeed, the chicken came before the egg.
Okay, now, Dr. Scripture, I'm glad we see eye to eye on the chicken and the egg question, but I find it hard to believe that you asked my opinion as part of this nationally broadcast radio program simply for the purpose of having everyone find out what my thoughts were on the subject. Why did you ask the question?
Well, Scott, it was a way to introduce the discussion I want to have today, which is to answer questions I've recently gotten from listeners. And the chicken and the egg question relates to each of them.
So, someone asked you the chicken and egg question?
No, but how I arrived at the answer to the chicken and the egg question also led to the answers I gave to the other questions I received.
Okay, so what were the questions?
Well, the first one I've gotten several times over the last couple of months. The first time it came up was when all our lives were disrupted by the COVID-19 pandemic.
That was almost 3 months ago.
Yes. And frankly, Scott, I have made it a point not to talk about this whole issue of the virus, because if anyone else out there is like me, I weary of hearing about it constantly in every form of media there is. And so I purposed to not mention COVID-19 at all. But having said that, the question I've been getting is, did God create viruses? So I intend on addressing the question today. But there were also two other related questions that I want to talk about. One was, how are Adam and Eve related to cavemen? And the other question is, will scientists be able to reverse engineer a dinosaur from a chicken?
Now that's quite a twist on the chicken and egg question.
Yes, it is, Scott. And even though evolution can't give an answer to the chicken or the egg question, evolution does propose it has the answer to the question, what came first, the dinosaur or the chicken?
It would confidently claim the dinosaur came first.
For sure. Well, maybe not so for sure. It depends on what a dinosaur or a chicken is.
What in the world do you mean by that?
Well, haven't you heard that chickens are dinosaurs? That's the claim of some evolutionists.
Really? Boy, that'll give me a whole new perspective next time I order at KFC.
Okay, so anyway, to be a little serious, although it is difficult to take some of the proposals of evolutionists seriously, evolutionists do definitely claim the dinosaur came before the chicken.
So, Dr. Scripture, now that you've described the questions you've received, how do the existence of viruses, cavemen, and dino chickens all relate to the chicken and egg question?
Excellent question, Scott, and here's how. Each one requires the application of an assumption concerning what came first. Now, we've already discussed the answer to the chicken and the egg question. A creation perspective would say the chicken came first. So, how about the virus question? I would say asking, did God create viruses, is actually another way of asking, did viruses come before or after living organisms? Well, God certainly created the tiny organisms or microbes we call bacteria and protozoans because they are living organisms. But since the Bible says nothing specific about viruses, we can only deduce a possible answer from what the Bible does say, along with what we know about viruses. Unlike bacteria, a virus is not a living organism. It's like a partially functional piece of an organism. I can remember when viruses were considered to be evolution's stepping stones to eventual fully functional cells. The assumption was that since viruses are far less complex than a bacterial cell, viruses must have preceded bacteria in evolution's path to the current diversity of life.
So which came first, the virus or the bacteria? Evolutionists would say the virus.
Well, they did many decades ago, but I'm not sure many would claim that now. Because given what we now understand about the molecular biology of how viruses function, it's clear that their existence requires fully functioning cells from whole living organisms, which contain the cellular apparatus to synthesize protein and replicate DNA. They in no way could evolve first and then, through natural selection, develop the increasingly more complex biomolecular systems found in living cells. Living cells had to come first. Only then could viruses have what they need to exist and multiply. But you know, that still leaves unanswered the question, did God create viruses? Because he may have created them along with living organisms. Whether on the third day when he made the plants or on the fifth and sixth days when he created animals.
So what do you think?
Well, do you remember God's assessment of everything after he finished his 6 days of work?
Are you referring to what it says at the end of Genesis chapter 1, and God saw all that he made, and it was very good?
Exactly. At the end of the sixth day, God pronounced that everything was very good, which would seem to preclude the idea that there were degraded, partially functioning infectious pieces of living cells floating around. As far as I know, viruses carry out no necessary or useful function in the ecosystems of the earth. Some may be essentially neutral in their effect, but much more often they are harmful to life. So it seems unlikely to me that viruses were a part of what God had created at the beginning. However, when sin entered the world, the entire balance of the perfect created world was altered. God somehow took away the physical ability of the human body to live perpetually, so that the human body would eventually instead age and die. Could God have created viruses then? Maybe. Or perhaps he caused the immune system of man to no longer function perfectly. But whatever God did to the physical world to punish mankind, it set in motion the process of corruption. Paul described it this way in Romans 8:20 and 21. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So I suggest that viruses are not the result of a direct act of creation on God's part, but the result of the degradation of the perfect balance of life God originally created. Cells have corrupted, such that partially functioning bits and pieces of them, which end up interfering with the proper function of living cells, have developed, devolved, so to speak, over the millennia since the fall. God didn't need to create viruses. They were the inevitable result of the continuing, inexorable degradation of the physical world we live in.
So then, returning to the chicken or egg analogy, cells came first and then viruses.
That's what I think, Scott. Call it devolution. It's the exact opposite of what evolution claims to have happened over billions of years.
Okay, so we've covered the virus question, but what about Adam and Eve and cavemen? Somehow that's related to the chicken and the egg question?
Yes, it is, Scott. The question I got was, what is the relationship between Adam and Eve and cavemen? Again, The underlying question is, which came first? Or who? Our culture is saturated with the evolutionary construct that modern man has evolved from primitive cavemen.
Cavemen came first, according to that perspective.
Correct. And so if we're the descendants of cavemen, where do Adam and Eve fit in? Before cavemen? Or did cavemen somehow come along after Adam and Eve? Well, obviously, evolutionists totally deny the creation of Adam and Eve, and so for them, the who came first question is a non sequitur. But as a creationist, what does the Bible tell us? Adam was the first man. 1 Corinthians 15:45 states that clearly, quote, "So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul," unquote. And then we know God created Eve. All humans are therefore descendants of Adam and Eve.
So Adam and Eve were first, but is it possible that Adam and Eve were cavemen, so to speak? That would fit with the evolutionary idea that modern man has descended from cavemen, even though evolution would reject Adam and Eve's origin.
Well, that's a good possible idea, Scott, and one we can't absolutely rule out. But I strongly resist that idea. When God created Adam and Eve, they were physically, mentally, and spiritually perfect. I can't imagine such creatures as brutish dullards scratching stick figures on cave walls. They would have been brilliant, creative. And remember, their lifespans were over 900 years long. Think of the accomplishments they would have made, even though they were set back by sin.
Yep.
No, I think the explanation for where cavemen came from is the same as where viruses came from. They were the result of the degradation of the original creation God made. And interestingly, there's a hint about who they were in the book of Job. He's describing what happened to criminals in his day. And I'll read what he says in Job 30, verses 5 and 6. "They were driven out from among men. They shouted at them as at a thief. They had to live in the clefts of the valleys, in caves of the earth and the rocks." So it's possible those people described as cavemen lived right alongside the rest of society, but as outcasts because they were a threat to society. So, to answer the question about how Adam and Eve were related to cavemen, I would say cavemen came long after Adam and Eve.
Well, Dr. Scripture, you mentioned one other question you were going to answer. Will scientists be able to reverse engineer a dinosaur from a chicken? But we've run out of time.
Yes, Scott. I'll have to explain what that crazy question is even all about next time. But for today, I'll close by reminding us what or who really, really came first. These words come from Psalm 90, verse 2. "Before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.